precious children. Lord, have mercy. Well, good morning. It's good to have one. Good to have two of you speaking to me. I hope the rest of you will speak as we move along in here. But thank you for being here. It's a joy. And as you can tell, Pastor Terry is not standing up here. So he took a little short vacation with his family, and glad for that. So I'm filling in. Thank you again for coming. Each one of you are special, and I'm glad to be able to pass on to you what the Lord has led me in this week's study, and to encourage even further your celebration time, your Thanksgiving time, all of that. I don't have any physical food, but oh Lord, have mercy. There's enough here to feed us, and I have enough in my notes to feed us. So we'll be fed today according to Scripture. According to Scripture. Okay. Let me pray for us as you're getting settled in and opening your Scriptures, and we'll head towards Psalm 103 this morning. So if you're dialing in, you can do that, but I want to pray for us first. Our Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, come before you with thanksgiving, appreciation, exaltation. Trust you're glorified today as we've sung the song, the music, the special music. All of the songs were perfect, and all of them have what I want to talk about in. So thank you for organizing the music that way, and for your people who stand up here and lead us, blessing us, and we're thankful. And many other things we're thankful for. Hide me. I don't want to be a distraction. I don't want people to say the preacher said. I want people to hear from you. And I ask you to open our hearts that we may behold wondrous things from your law. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will do the work that Scripture says he will do. And all that I bring out is from your word and what you've given me, and it will be a blessing to your people. And I do pray that as the scripture says, they reprove, rebuke, they exhort, they do all those things. And I ask you to do those things. Keep me out of the way and help me be able to convey what you've put on my heart and what I have written down and what you've written in your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. It was way back in 1897 when Johnson Oatman Jr. wrote one of his famous hymns. And by the way, he wrote hymns for 25 years, and he wrote approximately 200 per year, very gifted guy. At the end of his life, it is estimated that he wrote 5,000 songs. We sang one here back 400 years ago, I think it was, when I came here. But seriously, when I came here 40 years ago, we sang one of these songs, and here's the title of it, and you know it. Count Your Blessings. Yeah, he wrote this song. And the chorus goes like this. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Anybody here ever heard that song before? Just raise your hand real slow so I... Way to go. Two or three of you. You'll get it. It's in the teaching today. That's way back. We did that way back. We did one this morning. The first one that we did was recorded a little later. 2011, actually. And that was Matt Redman and Jonas Myron. They released the song 10,000 Reasons based on Psalm 103. And by the way, if you don't know, in 2011, that was recorded in 2011. In 2013, they won 2 Grammys for that song. So that's a popular song because it's a psalm and other words added to it. We just sang that. So that's the introduction for Psalm 103. So if you have the scriptures open, we'll be going there in just a moment. But Psalm 103 has 22 verses. So does the Hebrew language, has 22 letters. Interesting, isn't it? You know that. You're going to go home and talk about that all day, I'm sure. But I just saw that, thought it was interesting. Psalm 103, which is where we're going in a few moments as I start the introduction. Psalm 103 is a praise to God. That's what it's about. It's the whole thing is a praise and a worship to God. That's the whole thing. Psalm 104 is connected with it. Matter of fact, they're like Siamese twins. They just connected. If you read Psalm 103, and you have read that, somebody told me this morning they've read that this week. If you've read that, I challenge you to go to 104 and read it. So interesting that they connect. You know how they connect? Psalm 103 is praise to God. Psalm 104 is praise about God. So interesting. Psalm 103 is a call to praise and worship. Psalm 104 is a call to appreciation and thanksgiving. It's interesting. If you put those together, you're like, wow, God is so smart. Yeah, this is so cool. So, and also, both of these psalms, they open and close the same way. They both open with bless the Lord, O my soul, and they close with bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 104 does the exact same things. It's like bookends. That's all there. There's something about these psalms, these two here, that we need to take home as God's people. And that is, we need to praise God. That's what we need to take home. So that's what's ahead of us. Now, I'm not going to do 22 verses. I'm only going to do 5 verses. And you can go ahead and look at your watch. It's still going to take 12 o'clock to get there. And I'm really trimming those 5 verses way down. But they're worth you listening to, not me, but listening to the Lord and see what he shows you as he's shown me about some of these verses here. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Let me read that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our iniquity, who heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Interesting verses, isn't it? That's only 5. So I could say this, that, let me say it. I'm going to say this because others have said this and I've read behind them. Psalm 103, 22 verses. One person said, I am confident there's 17 blessings in that. One other guy says, I can beat that. There's 25 blessings in those 22 verses. And one guy really went off the rail. He said there's 30 out of those 22 about praising and blessing the Lord. I don't know, but I know there's a bunch of them. And there's not, I don't know that I'm going to be able to come up with 10,000 reasons, but they're, according to Matt Redman, they're all there. So we can praise the Lord with thousands and thousands and thousands. But I want us to focus in on the text for today. The first thing is the way it starts and the way I've outlined it for you. The call to praise God, verses 1 and 2. That's where we're going to focus for now. The call to praise God. Verse 1, as I just read, says it. See how it's laid out. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. This is David. If you've wondered, this is a psalm of David. And this is David revealing what's in his soul. This is David talking to himself and us. I mean, this is a personal and an internal call here. That's what he's saying, as I'll show you as we go through it. And he starts out with that word, bless, which means, in the original language, I looked this up, and it says it means to kneel down. Or, one other thing it can mean is to praise. So, kneel and praise. There's something about that found in that word, bless, as you know. It can be praise and worship. The word bless is used 7 times in this one Psalm 103. 7 times. Just it opens and closes. Just and then it's in 104, one first verse and last verse. Listen to Psalm 145:1. I will extol you, O God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. There's a blessing here using that word. There is a difference now. There's a major difference between the way we bless the Lord and the Lord blesses us. There is a major difference here. It's a challenge to get a hold of this, because it's just, we feel like when we use the word bless the Lord, we're giving him something he doesn't have. It's not that. We're giving him something he needs. It's not that. People, listen to me. God doesn't need a thing from you. God's got all of us. God's got everything. He doesn't need things. I use that word. He doesn't need things from us. He needs us to give our life to his son, but he doesn't need us. So when you use the term bless the Lord, it's a little awkward. You got to get used to that. But when you put it together and start thinking about it, God blesses us with all these things for life. And what do? We bless. If you want to use the word bless, you can. I'm going to use the word praise mostly in here, but it says it. Bless. We bless God. We pray. This is what we do to God. This is what we do toward God. We praise him. We worship him. We love him. We adore him. We appreciate him. We are giving thanks to him. We obey him. We submit to him. And we reverence him with fear. When you see that in scripture, and they feared the Lord, that means they recognized his holy power. So it's a little awkward when we say bless the Lord, but you know what I'm saying. Matter of fact, the translation of the NIV, I don't know if you've ever used the NIV. If you've ever used, that's the New International Version. Okay, so it's international, it's broad. But here's how they translated that word, bless. Praise the Lord. They use the word praise. So you can use the word praise if you want to. And that's what we're talking about here. Notice the text again. Bless, he starts out with bless the Lord. Notice that word as well in your translation. This in all caps. There's a reason for that. Because the proper name of the one true God is Yahweh. Is Yahweh. If you've ever heard of or seen or even opened up a new translation, came out just recently, it's called Legacy Standard Bible. It's off the New American Standard, but it's taken all the words of God, the all of them, and it's put the ones that are capital, that in our translation, is put them in the original word. And here's how it reads. This is Psalm 29:1-2. Listen to this. Ascribe to Yahweh, O sons of the mighty, ascribe to Yahweh glory and strength. Ascribe to Yahweh the glory of his name. Worship Yahweh in the splendor of holiness. That's pretty cool, isn't it? It sort of helps us like, whoa, we just read praise the Lord or worship the Lord, and there's nothing wrong with it, but I'm just saying this translation highlights those words of God, which gives us a an encouragement, I think. There's many other verses that refer to the Lord here, and this we're saying, bless the Lord. There's many other verses, Exodus 15, 1 through 3, Psalm 117, Psalm 135, Psalm 140, Psalm 148, Chronicle 1 Chronicle 16. All these verses speak of the Lord. When we would see it in our translation, the ESV, we would see that capitalized. Blessed. Notice how he puts it now. He says, bless the Lord, David now. Now he uses this phrase, oh my soul. Oh, all of a sudden we're thinking about something a little different now. What is he talking about? He's talking about our breath and our life and our soul and our innermost beings and the seat of our emotion and the internal desires that's in our heart. It's the regenerate heart that has this praise, not the unsaved person. The unsaved person has no praise much to anybody except themselves and something they really like and something they're really involved in. There's a praise there. But the saved person, there's something inside of us that just wants to praise the Creator God. Can I get a witness? There you go. Come on. That's so good. Just think through that. Just think through it as we are. This is just introduction here. So it says, oh my soul. And it says, all that's within me. It's like David's talking to himself. I'm letting out what's within me. My inner being. This is my heart. This is my soul. This is all I am as I'm letting it out. And by the way, so you may already know this, this is the old David here. Ready? Let me say it again. So some of you is like, what? This is not the young David. This is the old David. This is many years later. He's already gone through some troubling times. He's already gone through, I'll touch on that in just a few moments. Now he's sort of an old man. You know something, old men? Old men, listen to me. If we're not praising the Lord at this age, we ain't got, can you understand what I'm about to say? We ain't got much time left. Don't waste it, older men. Yeah, I want to say young men too, but David was an older man when he said these things. Oh, my soul, and all I praise him, all that's within me. This is what comes to your mind. Matthew 22, 37 and through 40. You shall, and I'll just read a little of it. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. So that's flowing there, and you know the rest of the verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me. You see why he's doing that. Bless his holy name. What a way to round this off. In other words, praise God's holy name, his character, his reputation, his goodness, his perfection. Psalm 138, 1 and 2. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I sing your praise. Before the gods of the world. I'm praising the God. The only God, I bow down toward your holy temple. I give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. Whoa-wee. How about that? He's saying it. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. That's verse 1. Here's verse 2 as we'll finish. This is the introduction. Verse 2 says it again. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Some of the stuff I've talked about. Then he says something else that I haven't talked about. And forget not all his benefits. Can I draw a line under that? Forget not. Some of you have already forgot what I talked about earlier. That's just the way we're built, isn't it? But he's telling us there's some things you ought not forget. Matter of fact, there's some things you got to train yourself to remember. There's some things you got to discipline your body to pay attention. There's some things you really need to get a hold to. Does that make sense? That's what he's saying. He's not saying here, You should remember all the 30 benefits of Psalm 103, 1 through 22. He's not saying that so much as he's saying, forget not his benefits. In other words, think about it. Forget not his benefits. Praising God should be an overflow of our heart and our soul. The greatest benefits of God's grace should not be forgotten, should not be neglected, should not grow lukewarm. Can I say that again? These things should not grow lukewarm. You people came for a reason today. If you came to be entertained, it's okay. Now, I'm not going to get upset if you feel like you need to leave, because you're not going to get entertained, because I can't even entertain my dog. I can't entertain. I'm not an entertainer. But this is what the scripture says, and I'm going to speak that boldly. We should not allow ourselves to become lukewarm when it comes to the blessings of God. That's the title of our sermon today. We should not allow that to happen. Whatever's going on, as a true believer, you should not allow yourself to become lukewarm to the things of God. Let me read a passage that can make us, make us feel different, okay? Revelation chapter 3. The Lord's giving something to the church at Laodicea. Verses 15 and 16. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were cold or hot. I wish you were one or the other. So, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Is that a pretty good message for us when it comes to the things of God, the benefits of God, the blessings of God? They're just mundane? Hope not. That's heavy. Okay, part 2, verses 3 through 5 is where we'll finish this. Reasons for praising the Lord. And I'm using 5 verses, so I'm using 3, 4, and 5 now to pick 5 points. Reasons to praise the Lord. They're all in the text. If you're a Bible reader and all, you'll see it. First, number 1, he totally forgives sin. I hope I've covered that where you can get that. Here's the verse. Who forgives all your iniquity? He totally forgives sin. That's the first principle. 3 words that you'll see in the remainder of our time as we're looking through these, 3 words will keep showing up. Iniquity, transgression, and sin. Let me give you a quick meaning for some of those, so when you see them, you say, what is that? Okay, iniquity. This is a premeditated choice to break God's law. This is crookedness and perversity. This is deep-rooted moral evil. This is young King David with Bathsheba. That's what this is. This is iniquity. Who had her husband killed. You know, that's what this is. That's iniquity. Then there's the word transgression. To choose to intentionally disobey God. I know I'm forgiven. So I'm going to do what I want to do. I know it's wrong. You ever said that? I know it's wrong, but I'm going to still do it. I'm going to still break the law. I know it's wrong. That's transgression. Transgressing the law. Being presumptuous or presumptuous sin. Samson intentionally broke his Nazarite vows. That's transgression. And then the one that it just sort of encompasses, these all connect, but the words are used in Scripture. Sin, just that little three-letter word, sin, means to miss the mark. Romans 3:23, fallen short of the glory of God. Or Romans 14:23. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Or James 4:17. This covers a multitude here. James 4:17. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, to him, it's sin. Oh, man. Wayne Grudem said it this way, defining sin. Here's what Grudem said. Sin is any failure to conform to the moral law of God in act, attitude, or nature. The sin of King David, 2 Samuel 11 and 12, the sins, I should say plural, of King David, and the consequences of the sin, all that's before us here in this psalm as we think back, that's in the backdrop. And then what's before us here in Psalm 103 is a reminder of God's marvelous grace of forgiveness of all sin. What a contrast. What a contrast. To think of adultery and murder and on and on and on, and even with David and what happened, and then put his wife and then took Bathsheba and the consequences of their sin. This is 2 Samuel 11 and 12. The consequences of sin, the baby died. All of that is in there. There is consequences of sin. Even forgiven people, there's consequences to sin. There is. There's things come. But there's forgiveness. And this is what we see here in this subject here. Psalm 32 gives us a little picture of it. Psalm 32, 1 through 5. Notice this. Now, just think with me as I read it. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man or woman against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Now, notice verse 3. For when I kept David, is this? When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as the heat of summer. In other words, the convicting hand of God does that. If you can sin and stay in it with no problem, I'd probably get on down right where you're at right now. Just get on down on your knees. Yeah, go ahead. It's okay. If you can do that, and I don't believe there is such a thing for a believer, for a genuine born-again spirit-filled believer. You can't live like that. There's the heavy hand of God. He says it here. Verse 5. I acknowledge, aren't you glad that this happened? I acknowledge my sin to you. I didn't cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. How about that? Yeah, this is like what possibly David was going through. Well, here's the rest of the story. Psalm 51. You go from 32 to 51. Notice, this is the Psalm of David when the Nathan prophet confronted David over his sin. That's what Psalm 51 is about. Listen to the verse. Look at it. Have mercy. It's David now. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know, notice it, my transgressions. I know my transgressions. And my sin is ever before me against you and others. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this, what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity and in sin. And did my mother conceive me? I was brought forth in sin. That's what he's saying. I was a sinner. Behold your delight in truth and in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Notice what he's saying. Purge me with hyssop, that I shall be clean. Wash me, that I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let my bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face. Notice it. Hide your face from my sin, and blot out all my iniquities. Here's a key one, verse 10. Create within me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. And then he wraps it all up here in verse 17. And this is the key to all that David's talking about here. The sacrifices of God. Here's what they are. A broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, oh God, you will, notice it, you will not despise. In other words, you want to know what that looks like. When God breaks you, he changes you. That's what he does. And God, he says it, oh God, you will not despise this. So the forgiveness of sin is an absolute necessity when it comes to the biblical subject of the gospel. Matter of fact, the forgiveness of sin is first in this line of benefits, which lets us know that there is no salvation without forgiveness of sin. There is none. Without God's forgiveness, we're in our sins. Without God's forgiveness, the guilt is upon us. Without God's forgiveness, the consequences await us, and they're called the judgment of God. And therefore, a person who's guilty of all of that is an unregenerate person. Let me say it another way. That's an unsaved person. An unsaved person is in their sins. And their sins are mounting up more and more, day after day, week after week, year after year. An unsaved person, all those things are mounting up to come to a day of judgment that they will have to give an account for all of them and pay for them with eternal separation from God. That's what that is. But God's forgiveness, oh, God's forgiveness is so rich and so precious. And it, God's forgiveness is all our sins are placed on Christ. The forgiveness of God is a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. The forgiveness of God, look at Psalm 103, verse 10. We go from these just the first few verses all the way down to 10 through 12. He does not deal with us according to our sins. That's the forgiveness of God. Nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him, who love him, who trust him. Look at verse 12. I just love verse 12. You'll like it too. As far as the east is, notice it, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Okay, students, your turn. So, how far is the east from the west? How far? Do you have a word on that? Have you've studied that, I know you have. If I've studied it, you've studied it. How far is the east from the west? Yeah, I know, it's a silent one, isn't it? It's called infinity. There is no end. There is no east pole. There is no west pole. There's a north pole. There's a south pole. There's an end to that. You come to the equator, right? Yeah. Do you know if you go east and you keep going east and never stop going east, you know where you'll end up? East. There's no end to it. What is he saying here? Is this not something to make us really say, wow? If you can sit there with an old long face dragging the floor right now, something's wrong. Listen to me. He says, I'm forgiving you, and it's infinite. My forgiveness for you, there's no big, it's the beginning, but there's no end. It's like starting east. There's a beginning. I'm going east. Not going west, east. There's no end with his forgiveness. Oh, that's so cool. Does that help? Just grunt that helps. Say, Yeah, that helps. Doesn't it help? Isaiah 43:25. Now just listen to God. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my name's sake, and I will not remember your sins. He chose not to remember your sins. Praise God for that. He chose not to. He chose not to. God's forgiveness of all our sins, it's a present continuous action. There was a time, yes, I trusted Christ with all my heart. He forgave me. There is a place you start, but there's no end to it. His forgiveness is, okay, we can say it this way, past, present, we're present now. Past sins, present sins, future sins. That's the kind of forgiveness he offers. But listen to me, people, listen. The doctrine of God's total forgiveness is not license to sin, but an incentive to praise God. That's what they are. Romans 6:1-2. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means, Paul says. How can we, who died to sin, still live in it? Let me close with this one. This will help you now. What is the forgiveness of our sin look like and feel like? What does it, preacher? Tell me what it looks like. Tell me what it feels like. Show me. I'll show you. 1 Corinthians 6. It'll be on the screen. 9-11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. He names a few. Neither the sexually immoral, or idolaters, or adulterers, or men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkard, nor the revilers, nor the swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. He just named a few. Some of you are sitting there saying, didn't name one of mine. He didn't intend to name them all. It's not 10,000 sins he's going to name. Okay, you can fill in where you need to. But here's the good part. Listen, notice it. And such, he names that whole list of things here, the small list. And such were some of you people. Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth. Such were some of you people. But you were, here's how does it look? How does it feel? You were washed. Whatever your sin was, you were washed. It's not there anymore. You were sanctified. You've been set apart for God now. And you were justified. The judge has says, no sentence towards you. I put it all on Christ. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Isn't that something for us to say, praise God? Or Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Dear people, God is so good to forgive us. The first one, that's just one of them. It's the big one. They're all important, but this is the big one. If you don't get that, if you don't have that, you do not have Christ and he does not have you. That's just where that's at, all right? Number two, I will go a little faster now. He totally heals. Some of you have been waiting for this one, I know. He totally heals. Verse 3b. who heals all your diseases. He says it. He heals. He heals. I have three little categories I want to point to in here, and they're just my category, the way I put things together. First of all is spiritual healing. The worst disease all humans experience is, the reformers called it total depravity. I'll be nicer than that and say total inability to save yourself from the consequences of your sins. That's the first healing. He changes us. The first healing. It's Romans 1. Just one little phrase there that's used three times. God gave them up. That's the condition of unsaved people. If you stay in that and get close to leaving this planet, God may give you up. I don't know what God will do. I hope not. But he says that three times. Read Romans 1. Just read Romans 1. Or Ephesians 2. You were. You people were dead in your trespasses and sins. But God. It is God who heals diseases. It is God who heals the worst disease. This sin sick, depraved soul. I like that. The unsaved person has a major heart disease that requires the great physician for healing. My dear friends, I remember my dad when he was in terrible shape, couldn't walk from here to that chair. Rushed him to the hospital. They said, you have 4 blockages, buddy. 80s and 90s. I don't know how you even got out of the car to get in the emergency room. He got bypass surgery, and it prolonged him a little while, and he lived on, but he finally died. What am I saying? I'm saying this disease, this sickness, this disease, this sin, this disease that I'm talking about here, this dead to Christ, is the disease that Jeremiah 17 says, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately sick. One translation said wicked. One translation said incurable. Another one said beyond cure. Who can understand this? Our omniscient and omnipotent God. He understands this. This sickness requires a new heart. Ezekiel 36. This disease requires a heart transplant from God, not from another human being, because you get the same deal. We're without Christ, or we are with Christ, one or the other. But notice the text. Look at the text. Let it speak. I'll just do 26. Ezekiel 36, 26. Here's what he said. Talking about spiritual healing now. I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I'll put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So heart transplant means for God and his work. It means a new heart. It means a new heart, not a organ that pumps blood. That is not what this means. I know you know that. So that's the first healing. The second healing is physical. I've just categorized these for my sake. Hope it helps you. Second healing, who heals all your disease. See that word, all? He said it in the previous verse. Forgives all your iniquities. So here it is again. Spiritual healing is first. Then there's physical healing. Some of you are probably sitting here thinking, wow, when is this going to happen to me? I don't know. If Exodus 15:26, all I can say is what the scripture says. For I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. I am God, your healer. Look at that. Take it up with him. I don't know. Or Jeremiah 30:17, for I will restore health to you and your wounds. I will heal, declares, notice it, what does it say here? Declares the Lord God. He says that. When will he do that? I don't know. Will he do that? I don't know. You don't either. But he's capable. And you need to trust him, don't we? Don't we just, come on, can't we just trust God with that? I hope so. Man, I want to praise him for the moment that we have. Let's trust him for that. There is physical healing. Jesus proved it, Matthew 4:23. And he, Jesus, went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. What else was he doing? Healing every disease and every affliction among the people. Luke 1:37. For nothing will be impossible with God, as James 4 says, if the Lord wills. If the Lord wills, will the Lord heal my disease? I don't know. But if he will, he will. Number three. This is the final one. There is spiritual healing, the condition of a sinful heart. There is physical healing. There is physical healing. Man, I was healed this morning. I woke up this morning, got up, and I'm like, good night. I can't hardly swallow. My throat's sore. We don't think about those things, do we? God is always healing. It's a miraculous thing that you're walking around with, people. This body is a miraculous thing. He heals. Come on. He heals. But look at this last one. I just had to put this in. Heaven, I called it heavenly healing. All right? There's physical. Sure, we just talked about. And there's spiritual. I hope it's in that order. Spiritual. I don't know about physical. He will. He can. He's able. But I know about this one. I know about this one. Heavenly healing. Number one. It happens at the coming of the Lord. Yeah. Just think with me. This happens at the coming of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4. It happens because 1 Corinthians 15 mentions it. Especially verse 44. Let me read that one. Talking about the body. It is sown a natural body. That's what you got. You have a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. True believers, spiritual, born again, spirit-filled people who die, their soul goes to be with the Lord Jesus. Their body goes to the grave, and it stays there to the second resurrection. That's what I'm talking about here now. That body of your loved ones that knew Christ, loved Christ, lived for Christ, true Christian, their body is still somewhere, no matter. People say, yeah, but what if it's destroyed in a military war or whatever? People, come on. God doesn't need that. He can do what he wants to do. Give me a break on that. He'll take care of all that. He's coming. And when he comes, he's coming, and all the spirits of God, which are the people of God, are coming with Christ. And they're going to meet here on this earth. And the dead in Christ, that goes, and we who are alive go, and we all go to be with the Lord as he's coming. Philippians 3, I'll read that one. This will get it for you. All right, Philippians 3, 20 and 21. This is this heavenly healing. Trust me, you're going to get healed. You're going to get healed. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. But our citizenship is in heaven. So we're believers, we're true Christians here now. Our home is there. That's our citizenship. And from it, we await a Savior, right? The Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what he's going to do. Who will transform your lowly body to be like his glorious body. Can I say that again? It feels good just to read it, doesn't it? Who will transform your lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. In other words, just keep this in mind. When he comes, everybody's healed. There won't be no more. He'll give us. He'll not only heal us, but he'll give us a new body. He's taking care of all that. When he comes, the dead first and we who are alive, all that's going to take place. Number 3, verse 4. He purchased us from eternal separation. Look at verse 4a. Who redeems your life from the pit. Who redeems your life from the pit. Exodus 6:6 is a great point. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, I am God, I am Yahweh, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem, there's a key word here, you with an outstretched arm and with a great act of judgment. Or Colossians 1, Old Testament, New Testament, Colossians 1:13-14. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness. He's done that. And transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I mean, that's what he's done. You say, well, I'm sitting here, I'm sure not in heaven. No. But your name is. It's in his Lamb's book of life if you're in Christ. He got you covered, okay? You covered. You're covered. John Murray said it this way. A Scottish pastor, theologian, seminary president wrote much. Here's what John Murray said. Redemption refers supremely to the work of Christ on your behalf, or our behalf, whereby he purchased and ransomed us at the price of his own life, securing our deliverance from the bondage and condemnation of sin. Redemption. He's bought us out of the slave market of sin. He's redeemed us, and the ransom Christ paid for us. Matthew 20:28. Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. That's what he done. That's what he's done. That's purchased us out of eternal separation because of our sin and remaining in us, and us in our sin and not forgiven. If we had been in that shape, the forgiveness of God's not there. But now that the forgiveness of God is there, we belong to him. And he's, the proof is he brought us out of the slave market. Number four. Verse 4. He blessed us with steadfast love and mercy. He's blessed us. Notice it. Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Psalm 63:3. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. Oh, steadfast love. Steadfast love is used 200 times in the scripture. Mercy is used 157 times. It's all throughout the scriptures. Psalm 136:1. Give thanks to the Lord. This is God now. This is Yahweh. This is his holy name. Give thanks to the Lord. He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Or one of our favorites that you use all the time and you didn't know where it came from. Now I'm going to show you. There are things comes out of Lamentations. Lamentations 3:20-23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies, we use this one a lot. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, God. Your faithfulness. You say, well, steadfast love, mercy, he's poured that out on us. He's crowned us with that. He's dumped that on us. And the proof of that is, the proof of the steadfast love and mercy poured out on us is John 3:16. He gave his only son. Or Romans 5:8. Christ died for us. Or 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, he, that's God, made him, that's Christ, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him, Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. We're crowned. We're crowned with love and kindness and tender mercy. And last, number 5, and verse 5, he satisfies us with good things. Wow. Verse 5. Who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the Eagles, not ball team. The Eagles, the birds. Ah, it's so sweet, isn't it? I mean, Psalm 107, verse 9. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Can I get a witness there? Good night. He does. He does. If we can be still long enough. Be still to know the Lord. Just got to be still sometimes. Matter of fact, sometimes we just need to be quiet. Be still. Be quiet. You ever think about what Jesus said about something like that? He said, rising up. This is Jesus now. Not some of you late sleepers. Go to bed early. Jesus said, rising up a great while before day. He took himself to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Whoa, sometimes we just need to get quiet and get still, and we need to delight ourselves in the Lord, Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Or James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In other words, James is almost saying the same thing Hebrews 13:8 says. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's like that. There's your 5 points and 5 verses that maybe you can take and be encouraged by them. I'll close with having you to join me. Dan's closing the music, but this is still my part. I'm asking you to join me in unison, and that means you may not sing. Okay, ready? Y'all ready? You may not sing, but you can read a verse or a word with me. You may not say, I don't sing. Okay, read this with me. And that's this, written in 1674. This is so sweet. You ready? Now, you follow me. I don't mean I say it and you say it. I want you to say it with me, the doxology. Ready? Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let me help you with that. That last one goes like this. Amen. There you go. You got it. Father, I trust you that you'll use simple, truthful, biblical stuff, and you will hide me and take me out of it and cause your people to go to your word, meditate on it, memorize it, meditate on it, think about it, apply it to their hearts, get fed. Lord, this is my request. Would you cause your people today? Father, will you cause your people today who's sitting in this building to talk about how they were fed today? With their family, with their people. Talk about that. God, would you help them to do that due to the content of what we've read, sung, all the great songs prior, the verses we've read, the truths that's been brought before us. Will you encourage your people? In Jesus' name, all God's people said,
amen.
Amen.